morning, 9:05, I will call the Council. It's been the meeting for January 9th, 2013, in the order. Happy 2013 to all the council, to those that are in the chambers, and to the citizens of Dallas. May it be a blessed year. To start the year, I would like to introduce Padre Aquilino Lara from St. Francisco de Assisi Church, and so lead us in invocation, Father Garcia, and then Ms. Paso will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Father?
Good morning. First praise. O Lord, our Governor, whose glory is in all the world, we commend this city of Dallas to their merciful care, that being guided by the providence, we may grow secure in the peace. Then to the mayor of this city and to all the authorities, wisdom and strength to know and to do thy will. Fill them with the love and truth and righteousness, and make them ever mindful on their calling to serve this people and thy spirit. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen.
Amen. Also? So, Father, we will sustain on faith and the God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We will entertain our open microphone speakers for this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your morning speakers are going to be Casey Reed, Myra Martinez, Regina Wiley, and Melba Jackson. I will first reach out to Chief Ivan. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe that they note the proprieties, decline, and misconduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal and pertinent profane or tragic remarks or who become voices while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting shall be removed from the room if the sergeant or officer directed by the presiding officer, and the person shall be barred from further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are now 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer at the podium. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. You will state your name and address for the record, as well as address your comments to Mayor Riley. Your first speaker is Tracy Reed. Ms. Reed is going to be followed by Myra Martinez, Regina Wiley, and Melba Jackson.
Yes, Tracy Reed, 4722 Meadow Street, Dallas 75215. Good morning, Mayor Rollins and council members. There's been a lot of talk lately about the Texas horse park, and now there's talk about a golf course, of which both, I would say I'm happy to know that's going to happen. However, to my disappointment, there has been little to few town hall meetings or public hearings concerning the modifications regarding the changes to the scope and even the location of the horse park and now the golf course. I know that can be done. I know through the right channels there can be channels made available to people of the city, particularly the southern sector, to know what is going on in our backyard. I wouldn't dream of having a party in anyone's backyard, and not so much as let them know what my plans were. In addition to that, Mayor Rollins, last year you started a series of Growth South Initiative town hall meetings yourself and involved citizens to get involved. I personally attended 2 separate meetings, signed up to 3 separate committees, never got a single phone call from anybody. So again, this morning I challenge you to please reach out. Use the channel that you have and reach out and be a little bit more proactive. I know as a city we can do better about informing people about what's going on. The second thing I wanted to mention was, in the last meeting there was a lot of talk about testing the vision, where there are a lot of visions to be to be caught, if you will, concerning the Kennedy corridor. In addition to the horse park and even the golf course, again, I don't want to go into a lot of detail about that this morning, but if you would take the time, and I say that because, again, I reached out to several council members to make appointments, to sit down and talk to them, haven't gotten a single phone call back. So I think as far as communicating, you can do a lot better job. Thank you.
Thank you. I'll have my chief of staff meet with you on these other committees, because I thought we called people, but I want to make sure we follow up on that. And we will be talking to people, I think, on both the horse park and the golf course when planning is getting done, because I think that's a good idea. Mike,
yesterday, I spoke to her yesterday, Mike. I'm doing a record. I did speak to her yesterday, and I did have a long conversation with her yesterday about her concerns and stuff like that. And I'm going to do on record that I did reach out to her yesterday. It was the first time I heard of the conversation that we do have open door policies. I'm sorry that you are not part of the loop, but we definitely need you to get engaged. Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I have spoken either I or my office have been in communication with Ms. Reed over several months. Most recently, I directed her to the proper staff members. I don't know whether or not she took advantage of that, but she has been directed to the right place over several months. Thank you.
Thank you, Jacob.
The next speaker is Myra Martinez. Myra Martinez is not present. Regina Ryan. Ms. Ryan will be followed by McMelbert Jackson.
Good morning. I'm a little late. I've been having this coloration in my water. I talked to the director. I've been having this coloration in my water. I have spoke to the director of the water department. He told me it's fine, but it's a serious matter. I have a sample of it. I have pictures of it. It's more than just this car that they read out for us for the city of Dallas. It's a serious matter. I mean, I got a granddaughter, she's four, you know, she come to my house. If you see this, what's in this table, it looks cool, but it's not when you get it up close to the face. So, if I could, I just need some help if someone to help me with this matter in the city of Dallas. I live at 2715 Marina, Haley Way, Dallas, Texas, 75215. I've been close to several people. This is an ongoing thing. I don't know what to do.
Okay. Thank you. You did very well. You can just step over there. There'll be somebody from the water department to follow up with you right now. Okay? Yeah.
The next speaker is Melba Jackson. Melba Jackson is not present, but I can see the speaker this morning.
Thank you. We will begin our agenda.
Thank you. Item number one is approval of minutes of the December 12, 2012 City Council meeting. I believe Council Member Hoffman has the introduction.
Ms. Hoffman?
Yes, thank you, Mayor. I make a motion to approve the minutes with a correction to Addendum Item Number 7 to correct the census tax from 101.100 to 101.01 and as required by the 2013-2012 Texas Department of Housing and Community Development Low-Income Housing Tax Credit Qualified Allocation Plan.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Thank you. We proceed now to your consent agenda item. Your consent agenda items consisted of agenda items number 2 through 20 and agenda item number 1. Called for individual consideration is item number 15 by Councilmember Alonzo and item number 13 by Councilmember Carraway. As well, addendum item number 1 has been pulled by Councilmember Holmes. Therefore, for your consideration is the consent agenda will be items number 2, through 12, number 14, number 16 through 20.
I thought someone said no. Is that right? Okay. Is it a question?
Yes. There were one of the items was pulled or put back on the consent this morning. So you had agenda items number 10 through 12, number 14, 16 through 17, and 18, 19, 20.
So 18 is put back.
18 is put back on this.
Okay. Do we have a motion? Yes. We have a motion in second. All in favor say aye. Aye. Motion is carried. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Okay.
We move now to item number 13. Item number 13 is authorized number 1. The acceptance of supplemental funding for the 2012-2013 Tobacco Enforcement Grant to the Texas School Safety Center at Texas State University, San Marcos, in the amount of $2,625 for the purpose of reducing youth access to tobacco products and to ensure compliance with the Health and Safety Code, Chapter 161, for the period September 1, 2012 through August 31, 2013, and number 2, execution of the grant agreement.
Thank you all. I'm going to Taylor.
Mayor, I'm going to be very supportive of this. I just want to make a very quick statement as related to youth access to tobacco products. In this study and as we move forward, I would hope that we will come into certain areas of the city where they have this over-proliferated advancement of tobacco products in and around schools and community centers and churches, signs all on the outdoors and signs all through the windows. And then when you go into the store, the tobacco products are primarily the only thing that they are selling. And there at some point, I would love for the council to just let's get in the van and assist this project so that we can see ourselves that when you walk into a particular cooking establishment that calls itself a convenience store, they're cooking the chicken, but the convenience store has nothing but tobacco products, all of the little single flavored cigars and nothing but that, but they are under the auspices of a convenience store. But it's a convenience store name, but they have nothing but tobacco products. They may have some ice cream, but they have absolutely nothing else for a convenience store. But it's an over-proliferation. I just want to take this moment to just acknowledge I support it. I want to move approval of this item if it's correct at this time. But I also want to encourage us to do a strong educational piece because they are taking advantage of us, and this is so badly needed. But the concentration needs to be in some key areas.
Thank you, Mr. Carroll. Do we have a second? Any second? Any discussion? All in favor say aye. Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. And if I remember right, many of those products aren't used for tobacco either.
Not at all. But yeah. They sit on the parking lot and roll their drugs and marijuana in the front of the establishment.
Thank you.
Item number 15 is an ordinance amending Chapter 28 of the Dallas City Code to number 1, regulate the speed and direction of vehicles on certain streets, expressways, and freeways. Number 2, designate foot traffic zones. And number 3, designate one-way streets and alleys. Council Member Alonzo changes the item.
Okay, motion, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I make a motion to move this forward, and I just wanted to ask a couple of questions to Mr. Forrest Turner, just what the process was and if there were some questions that we had to be able to make some additional changes, what would be the process?
We have a motion and second. We'll answer your question now.
Yes, sir. The answer to your question, the recommendation is to approve this item. Any item, any location, individual location you'd like us to revisit, our traffic engineers would work with you to go back and revisit any of those segments that you would approve today.
Okay.
Could you also explain the process as to how it got to this list?
The process of this item has taken over a time frame of about a year and a half, where the engineering staff within Street has gone out actually in the field to verify distances, to verify the speed limits are accurate, and to make sure that our ordinance matches what we say on the sign.
Thank you, Mr. Lawrence. We have a motion and a second. Any other discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to addendum item number one. Authorize number one, an acquisition contract for the purchase and installation of hardware and software for an automated license plate recognition system for police in the amount of $603,622. Number two, a 5-year service contract for maintenance and support of the automated license plate recognition system in the amount of $146,462. And number three, a 5-year master agreement for additional hardware and software to add additional cameras in the amount of $2,489,894. I am slightly most advantageous to pleasure of eight. Mr. Mayor,
Councilmember Hunt
did request to pull the item. If
she's
not here at the moment,
it
would
be
nice to do. Thank you, Mr. Long.
Please,
Mr. Temple. Hey, go ahead and give me that. You would just 5,000 for the overview. That was in April of last year where we reviewed all of the technology aspects of the privacy issues. We discussed that as well in April. Mm-hmm. So, was this in the
budget for this year's budget?
It was in our confiscated phone.
Okay.
Drug investigation.
So how much money is left over?
$3.9 million is going to be used for the technology purchases in between bundles to include not only the license plate readers but also the GPS technologies and cameras and public spaces as well.
Okay.
In our hotspots specifically.
And with those hotspots, will this be spread out roughly about the same period of time? How do you plan to go in and do the hot spots? Which area you get to in the first to keep?
Top down, the highest crime areas of our hot spots will get the bundles first until we run out of confiscated funds. And we are currently seeking private partnerships in order to be able to fund. We have one private partnership with 7-Eleven that funded one of the bundles. And so we have enough of the confiscated funds to go down to 9 or 10 of the hotspots. Of course, you know, we have 27 hotspots. And we also have targeted some of the drug staff economic development area to some of the technology as well, which overlay with some of our hotspots as well.
Okay. Well, those hotspots are all over the city, so it's not just grow south or grow this or that. It's all over the city. I just want to make sure that we understand that this amount of money is that particularly when we pull it out of these funds, that I look forward to seeing this technology over in my neck of the woods with the high density.
Yes. The fourth idea is number three, yes, two always consistently over hotspots.
Okay. And with that being said, this is really more of a question for, or really an observation question for Mary, our city manager. These funds are so precious, but these funds that we have are so precious that we have. And I will support this. I support this. But at the same time, you know, I've had conversations about other issues about maybe how we can use and do things for this after school, before school program. Doing other issues that we allow so much on other groups to come in that are always way understanding, but can barely touch and scratch the needs. Maybe we go to NLC, National League of Cities, and we learn a lot. We see a lot of what the other cities are doing. I suggest that we continue to really look into and really, if anything, sharpen our pencils and look at what these other cities have done, particularly on the social matters that go hand in hand with the police. And but when I'm at NLC, I consistently see other cities receiving grants and being highlighted for what they do. But very seldom do I see Dallas. I never see it. And so that's not a trend that I like to see, particularly when it comes to some of the other social things that we can help with. That are out there. We can have these discussions. But again, those funds, I think, that are in there can also be used for some of these other activities that are out there that we just need to have these discussions on. Maybe at early stage, behind, just in the office, and talk about it. But, thank you, Mayor, for the time.
Thank you, Mr. Carroll.
Thank you, Mayor. If I could get Tom Perkins to come down and walk home this time to the Master Drum Chief. Chief, I support all of the efforts that he's been doing. It's been great, and we're seeing a difference in our community, but we still have some concerns. And AC as well. The $3.9 million, Chief, in AC, how is it acquired?
They were seized from drug investigation and through the court to compensate those funds through first drug investigation. So they go into our compensated fund balance.
So,
seize the drug money, we seize the houses and sell them, we seize the cars and sell them. So that's pretty much where the compensated fund balance comes from.
Okay, and you hear your ACLM is seized, I told you, you might have told me about that. But you hit one when you said seize the house. And Mayor and his council, I've been in discussion with the chief and the attorney and AC as relates to the seizing of the house. What I would like to do, and also to our legislators here, I don't know where the land is, our public safety is here as well, but the drug houses that are out here, I have said that if a house is known for selling drugs, and then we go in and we bust the house and we take the drugs out of the house, be it marijuana, cocaine, methamphetamine, whatever it is, then that's why if you're driving down the street and you have cocaine in your car, we would confiscate the car. Am I correct?
Yes.
So the fact of the matter is such as the one at 4611 Union Street in my district, is one, for example, that drugs were found, a person was killed, they defeated up the place, and that the house is still there. I would like to add on to these funds and set an example to people that are leasing these houses to known drug dealers that had activity for a number of years. That we would figure out a way, and I've asked the city attorney and you all to go to work, figure out how, and if we have to go to the legislative process, figure out a way how we can seize the house. Because if we seize the house as well, then that sends a signal to the owners that they need to be a little bit more careful as to who they lease the house to. Unfortunately, I hate to have to use it as an example, but we went over and painted the house at 4611 Union Street and painted all the graffiti. I have pictures here. The council would like to see all of the negative cursing and they don't see us painting and all of these types of things that are on that house. And the landlord who does not live in the city of Dallas, let me make it very clear, the landlord who does not live in the city of Dallas, he now wants to rent the house out for another 2 or 3 years to other people. And this house is in a neighborhood. It is so unfair for the neighborhood, for the kids, to have to endure on any street in the city of Dallas, have to grow up and pass by and go to sleep and knowing and hearing all these different things that are going on, to have to endure this. I simply want to put it on public record. My position is, let's seize the house. If we seize the house, So we don't have to seize a whole bunch of them. So once they know we're seizing the houses, then people are going to be very, very careful as to who they rent those houses to. I know that there's presentations that are not qualified for this, but I'm tired of it in my community. Also, I have the fire department. That's going to be my only speech of the day, my mayor. Okay, y'all, let me get through with you. As we talk about the cameras downtown, the 98 cameras that we have downtown Dallas, have they helped? Yes, they've proven to be helpful. Mayor, 6 years ago, when I first came to this council, we did not have 98 cameras. I have been an advocate of saying we need cameras. That was heard in the Canada downtown, and this is the chief that said it has helped. And it has helped in other key areas, but my point today is we still do not have enough cameras. I'm going to buy some more cameras, but what I would like for us to do in the future upcoming budget is that it is proven that the cameras work. It is proven that downtown the crime has diminished, and if a camera is there, it's like a 24-hour police. What I feel and will be pushing for is for us to find more money for more cameras. If there is a suspected drug house, if we just go and put the camera up at that in the area of that drug house, that will help the community. The people will not come and buy no drugs on cameras. And somebody say, where are they going to see the camera on? Well, that's good. Because as they point to the cameras, and we'll have them on film pointing to the cameras. And then go get them then. But at the same token, there's a need for us to enhance our technology. And not buy 50 more cameras or 100 more cameras. Let's go camera up the southern sector. I'm fine with that. I am not worried about the privacy act of it or whatever it is we will be faced with or think that we will be faced with. The people want to be safe. They deserve to be safe, and we must put more effort into the corner. At every one of the drug houses that I have in my district, I want to see a camera up immediately. Now, for example, I'm almost through this. For example, 1500 Union Street. There's a tobacco shop, and I hit again on tobacco, as we talked about already today. And it's called the Smoke Shop. And on that corner, in that little shopping strip, see, we put a camera up, right?
Yes.
And when we put the camera up there, the Smoke Shop business and the traffic went down. But because we did not have and do not have enough cameras, we eventually had to move that camera to another hotspot area. And now, see, I was passing through there and the other day, and the Smoke Shop is back in business. Okay? Because they don't have that camera watching. While the camera was there, the drug shop was baited out there. So I'm only appealing to say that the cameras have proven to work, but we don't have enough. That's why I'm appealing to help the chief. Chief, I'm saying, and AC, I'm saying, and Mayor, let's buy more cameras. Let's find the money, let's camera up, let's get into these neighborhoods, put it where these little thugs are. We don't have to stay there too long, but if they know we're watching them, we will diminish the activity, the drug activity there, and we'll make the community safer. I'm going to stop right there, but y'all understand what I'm saying. See houses, buy cameras, and that's just, you know, keep going. Okay? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
I'm going to do it all too bad, did I?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Orlo. Ms. McDonald,
thank you.
Your public speaking.
Thank you very much. And I think all of us were briefed back in April about the life cycle of crime, and we talked about prevention and crime-fighting technology and reentry. And we talked today about deployment and this is all policing 3.0. We talked a little bit about funds. We didn't talk a little bit about our partnership, and the chief has had several press conferences with partners out of our community that believe in what we are doing, believe that that our partners in our different communities, our businesses, that our communities support them, and so they're supporting our city as well. So we've got Meta Foundation, we've got Go to Dallas, Better Dallas,
We have the Rotary in Dallas. We have 7-Eleven, and we have community foundations that are really supporting us, and other folks that have come and said we want to support the Dallas Police Department because we want a safer city. She's talking a little bit about privacy issues, the Fusion Center, how we're collaborating with folks that have a privacy advocate. If you could talk a little bit about that, but I think it helps the members in council.
Sure, the privacy concerns from advocacy groups and citizens are when you are collecting this data and storing it, how you share it, and how long you keep it. Those are the primary issues from all advocacy groups. And there's not much guidance in the court because there hasn't been much case law. There's groups that have written best practice policies. The International Association of Chiefs of Police has written a really broad policy, and some other departments who have been using this type of technology have written some policies, but not many large cities like Dallas have used it really broadly. Much of what we've learned from studying this issue on privacy is that the retention of two types of data is really important to understand. One is we have access to data of stolen cars, the license plates of stolen cars, the license plates of wrong persons, the license plates of Amber Alert information where a child being abducted, and we know the license plate of a person driving through, and of course the license plates of people who have committed a crime, robbers that we're trying to catch as they commit to go on the crime spree. And then the other information is because these scanning devices are reading all license plates, the second part of the information we have in our database that we collected is license plates of regular citizens. And so the privacy concerns are how long do you keep the crime information, license plates, and how long do you keep just regular citizens that haven't committed a crime information in the databases. And it seems to be consistent across the board that for the non-criminal information you see, 3 to 6 months seems to be kind of this broad time period that people say, beyond that, there's a privacy concern if you can't express a criminal reason to keep the data. And so for the criminal data that you collect, an indefinite period is a best practice, or 5 years. And there's no rhyme or reason that you can find between who would keep. If it's your car, you want to keep it for forever until you get your car back. Or if it's a person that committed a robbery and you haven't caught them yet, most people want us to keep that data until we catch them. And so there's this indefinite period of crime data, or a 5 year period by some other means where maybe this has gone off the radar and you can't store that much data. And so I think for us, our policy should lean very conservative on the non-criminal information that we're collecting for either a 3 or a 6 month period before we purge the data out of our system. My concern with that, and it seems easy, but when we have that data, we can query it. And so what we don't know is who in that information data, what we don't know today that it's a criminal type of license plate, but that data is in there, and it could help us solve a crime in the future that may be the 7th month or 8th month, but that data is gone now. So we would have known that person was at a location where a robbery occurred, and citizens identified that person, and their license plate is in that situation, and we had a longitude and latitude that they were there to prove it. And now, but for us purging the data, now we can't go back and clear that and prove up. But I think we want to err on the side of being very conservative in this issue of keeping people's data and storing the data and protecting the data. We only store the data for the criminal reason, so the federal government has a case and needs to see that data, or say some other entity, law enforcement entity, has a case. But beyond a criminal reason, beyond other law enforcement, we're not going to write a policy to be able to share that data with anyone else. And I don't believe keep it beyond 3 to 6 months. And I'm just open to listen to, obviously, this body's opinion about sharing the data and
the story of the two talks about it, how long. Because there's not case law. The Supreme Court has one case that really speaks to how long to keep the data. And so most law enforcement agencies are really learning and interacting with the first bodies and other people like the ACLU about how long are people comfortable with storing the data, keeping it in the same.
I've got a couple of other questions. As I've been talking to the community about this, how about the paper license plate? Will they eventually have some type of barcode so this type of technology will capture the paper plate, license plate in the future?
Right, the paper plate, if you don't know, are dealer tags. When you first buy a car, particularly used car, you get a dealer tag. And it's good for 30 days. I think you can get an extension, but yeah, typically 30 days. Most of them say, depending on the read, the date. It's really a good tool for police. Most of those paper data tags when they expire are usually people that hadn't paid something or done something with the person they bought the car from. So we typically will stop those cars for expired paper data tags and use that lead to further investigating that case. A license plate reader won't have data in it to read or store or query paper dealer tags. Because usually they come and go in 30 days and usually first get the real license plate and the paper dealer tags go away. So that's not as much of a concern. Officers who are suspicious of paper dealer tags on a car, they find a reason, a legal reason to stop if they have one, and they stop and check whether or not there's something unfortunate happening with the paper dealer tag.
Thank you. Steve, a couple of other things that I remember from the briefing was the camera, I believe, downtown that caught the man breaking into a parked car, and that was downtown. So I know that we have them in the central business district, we have them in the arts district. Victor Meadows, Jubilee, Uptown, Bishop Arts, and the Jefferson Corridor. And we have found that they have been, you know, very helpful in solving some crime in those areas. Thank you very much. I will definitely be supporting this. And Mr. Allen and I spoke, and I know that he definitely needs and wants them in his area, and I know that Ms. Hans and I, we share the number one tag area. So, and we're talking to, speaking with the crime watch groups in that particular area as well. So we're looking for definitely more technology, to help us as we increase in density in neighborhoods. We definitely need more technology in our area.
Thank you. Let me just add also, Mr. Ronald, that our hotspots, our 27 tagged areas, touch every council district in the city.
Mm-hmm.
If you all didn't know that, each of you have at least all or a portion of a hotspot in your district.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Brown. Ms. Harper.
Thank you, Mayor. And Chief and A3 and Tom here, Sarah. The item is for the purchase and installation of hardware and software for an automated license plate recognition system. So this includes a separate camera than what we're using today, is that correct?
We currently don't have any of the automated license plate readers.
So this would include a camera and the software?
No, this is just the license plate reader software and hardware.
This is software.
Just for the license plate reader, not the camera. You approved the camera
before.
2 weeks ago, I think.
So this software will work with the cameras that have already been purchased?
No. What happens is this license plate reader are mounted either on a police car or mounted on a fixed location, say an overpass or a satellite. And the software is what stores the data and reads license plates.
Mm-hmm.
And so the entire item is about the hardware that's mounted on the squad car or the fixed location and the software that reads and stores license plates. It's not camera at all. Yeah, it's only license plate reading.
So if I'm a police officer and I have that hardware and the software mounted to my police car, and I get a license plate that has been flagged as a stolen car because, say, I reported my car stolen 3 days ago and so it flags it, then what happens?
In a millisecond, the picture is taken of the car and stored in a database and the officer sees on his laptop in his car the car that is flagged in the system, and he can turn around or go forward and stop that car immediately on traffic and recover that car. This is the best use of this car, is recovering stolen cars. The second best use is arresting wanted persons who are driving cars that are in the system as well. It has in other cities that's been phenomenal at reducing auto theft and being more efficient at catching people who are wanted for crime.
I'm supportive of this. I just have concerns that, again, with the privacy laws, and you're going to have everyone that particular hardware, and my license plate, and you're going to have everyone else. So I want to be sure that we have a good awareness campaign of what this really is. And to make sure that if your car is stolen, if you're reporting it right away because it can be recovered quicker. But we need to let our citizens know and be very aware of what this particular item does, both positively for the community to protect the auto theft issue. But certainly we need good awareness on this. So I would like something to come out from your office to let folks know about this hardware and software that we'll be using.
We will.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Pine.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Charles, I'm extremely concerned about the implementation of this hardware and software for just as you mentioned, these privacy concerns. So I want to go through some questions I have. And you may know the answer. That may also be AC or Tom may have the answer as well. First of all, Keith, when you talked about the possibility of keeping data for 3 to 6 months for average citizens who've done nothing wrong to your knowledge, the police don't have a warrant out for them, we're simply maintaining their records because perhaps they may commit a crime or perhaps they have committed a crime that they're not aware of. That's very troubling to me. The idea that we would keep this from 3 to 6 months, you say there's not a lot of case law on this. Where did the 3 to 6 months come from?
It's a best practice policy that we've researched. And in addition to that, the court has ruled on one area of this is that there's not a lack of privacy when you're on public roads. And so the guidance has been from that particular case with no lack of privacy on public roads. But the best practice as far as the policies that are written, as agencies that use this type of technology already, has been most are between 6 months and 3 months before they've heard the data out of the system.
And is this a written policy that we have at the City of Dallas that the data will be heard?
Our policy is in draft form because we want an input from this body, and any guidance we can get from you before we finalize our policies will be dictated.
My recommendation is 0 days. The data, that we should not be maintaining data on our citizens for any period of time unless we have reason to believe that they're committing a crime or they have committed a crime, and that's a separate issue. Let's go back to the question about public roads. Well, for example, if this is mounted to a police car, can that police car go through North Park Mall, go through the parking lot, using this hardware to scan license plates?
It could, yeah.
Okay, so that kind of undermines the argument that people don't have an expectation of privacy on public roads, but they do on private property.
Private property with public access is another different type of purely private property would be like your roadway or your driveway.
Okay, well,
there's a distinction in the law for private property with public access is only for public roads.
Let's talk about that then. If you drove down my street And we have front-facing driveways. We pull in from the street. All of our license plates are obviously visible from the street. Can't the license plate technology be used to record where the license plates are and what they are and where they are?
That was a scenario where ACLU has asked every agency about. And the solution has been to address that concern was that how you count the license plate reader either at a 90 degree or 45 degree or 30 degree and the width of the road, the majority of the roads in Dallas, we count them so we cannot read on private property as we drive down public roads. The way the mounting of the license plate reader was counted. So you want a small degree of count, otherwise the view of the license plate reader instead of doing the broad view where you would have some opportunity to read on private property, you want to make sure you cast the camera down the roadway based on the average width of roadways where you don't go on to private property or adjacent to private property where there is expectation of privacy. That scenario has been asked by a lot of advocacy groups that you just mentioned.
That kind of seems like a hardware issue.
Mm-hmm.
The hardware is set today that you have to angle this to obtain the type of accurate reading at that particular angle.
Yeah.
The way technology improves so rapidly, it seems to me that we're probably a year away from that technology allowing you to have a 360 view and to obtain information all around. And so I'm not convinced that because that technology requires you to have a very narrow angle today, that will protect us tomorrow from having our office plates and our driveways read. Actually, let me talk to you a little bit about the written policy, two sentences. What is our status on the written policy on how this information will be used?
As the chief mentioned, it's still in draft. Given this conversation, I think maybe one of the best things we would be able to do is have a discussion of that policy in the public safety committee or the council as a whole.
Let me interrupt. It seems to me that there's a lot of policy issues we need to get into, but I don't think this is the forum to do it. We need to take it back to public safety. And Mr. McGrano and really discuss those public safety, the policy issues in those areas. I want to answer your questions, Ms. Hunt, but I also think that would be good use of the public safety committee.
Yes. The item was briefed in general terms back in April, as the chair mentioned, and we're trying to see about having these technology purchases made so that we could be implementing in the spring, which is oftentimes the increase of criminal activity in a lot of these tag areas. But the policy issue could be followed immediately to have, at that forum, a more thorough conversation about
it. Do we have a timeline for having this policy in place?
The timeline is certainly to be in place before the implementation, and our implementation is in April timeframe.
Okay. Thank you. And Mr. Mayor, I appreciate that you're taking us back to Mr. McGrano's committee. I would say that I disagree a little bit. I do think this is the time to have a policy conversation, him that's purchasing the software and purchasing the hardware, because we're not going to untie this with him.
Well, I want to make sure that we have broad policy issues, and I think you're bringing them up, and I think that's a good discussion. Obviously, to me, to make this an appropriate policy, there's a lot of details that have got to be hammered out. And I don't think we should be hammering all the details. The question is, are we wanting to do this or not? And contingent on the policy. If we don't, then we should see that with the public safety committee. Yeah.
And if you guys will remind me when this comes up to public safety, I have a few more questions. How will this be shared with other law enforcement agencies? And when I'm asking questions, I'm particularly focused on the subset of folks who are regular citizens that you don't have an Amber Alert on, that you don't have a stolen license plate on. These are folks who aren't in the system currently.
One big piece of this type of technology is there is a homeland security component. And so the federal government, Homeland Security, could
request. I'm sorry, someone coughed when you said that. Can you repeat what you just said?
Much, a big part of any type of crime fighting technology has a Homeland Security component. And so to your question, who might it be shared with? It could be shared with the federal government because of a Homeland Security issue. And the scenario that comes to mind is the Mueller building bombing. That was a traffic stop because of an alias ticket on that suspect. And that was from the system we currently have in place. Basically, you stop someone on traffic for speeding, then you find out by checking the license plate over the police radio that that person has an alias ticket.
Right.
And so say we had a Homeland Security event where our data is in the system from the area where the event occurred, we could have federal government law enforcement authorities asking to view or share that information from that event.
So I just want to distinguish two things, because in the Mueller building situation, we were talking about a probable cause stop. Because if someone is running a red light, when they're speeding, you have probable cause to stop. And that's far different from simply collecting information and subsequently using it. So I don't want to conflate those two, because they're all different situations. And here we're talking about where we don't have any reason to suspect anyone of doing anything, keeping the data in the hope that maybe we'll fish into that data and find out where someone has been. And my concern, again, goes to fishing expeditions or abuse of that use. So if there's a federal government need a warrant to get that information, or do they just call you up? How does that work exactly?
They could need a warrant. If they don't have an ongoing criminal investigation. If they have an ongoing criminal investigation and there's some criminal nexus to need information, we would share it. And with almost any law enforcement agency, those criteria would be the test of sharing. So if you have a robbery and they know the suspects live in Dallas and have a license plate for the suspect, and we have information in the area where the suspects live, that would be a criminal nexus, that would be a criminal reason, that would establish at least reasonable suspicion or some level of reasonableness to be able to share the data. And so those are all the litmus tests for sharing data with other law enforcement. Beyond sharing with law enforcement, there is no reason to share beyond that.
Because I believe it was the Department of Homeland Security, Border Patrol, that is currently sharing this data with the National Insurance Nonprofit Organization.
Yes, we would not be doing that.
If you were requested to provide that information or asked to, or if an organization or business asked to contract with the city and said, we'll provide you with a certain amount of funds so that you can purchase additional police equipment, if you will provide us with this data, is that the type, first of all, will that be addressed in the policy that you're talking about? And secondly,
yes.
Would that come back before the city council, or is that just an administrative issue?
That's an administrative issue where we just have a denial and put that group appeal to each of you probably, but then you bring that to us to consider. But our policy, we want to write it in a way that denies another private hearing. Sharing with private independent groups not associated with law enforcement would be a policy denial and more of an administrative rule unless someone appeals to this body and we have to consider it for some reason.
Okay, so the info we're talking about keeping it 3 to 6 months. We're working on a retention policy. How is this, and how let me ask you this if I hear two things. How is this information kept in relation to Freedom of Information request? I'm imagining a lawsuit in which someone claims that a certain person was or was not at a location at a certain time and date, and they want the information, and we've retained it for 6 months. It's within that 6 month time frame. We have information at that location. What is the policy, number one, with regard to the law, if there is any law on those, in providing that information pursuant to the FOIA?
Nathan, I'd have to do some research on that. There are going to be a number of factors that are going to be involved in assessing that. To the extent that it is law enforcement information, that may be an exception to the open, to the public information act, and that may provide a basis not to produce it. There may be some privacy information there, but the problem here is what the courts have basically said is that there's no expectation of privacy associated with a license plate. And the information about that.
So potentially it could be used in a private lawsuit, it could be used in other private disputes. We don't know if it's...
I don't know the answer to that, Nathan. I'd have to do the research before I could answer that.
And we have not always batted 1,000 when we have withheld information and gone to the Attorney General seeking an opinion. It has been relatively consistent that the Attorney General has told Dallas to release information rather than agree to the court. Would you agree with that?
I think that's the right response. Yes.
Thank you. Anything else?
Yeah, let me see. I understand that. I really go over here, and I know some people take a lot longer for a lot more.
No, it's my obligation. I'm going to call the 12-minute mark here.
And
so.
I hope you do that, and when other people speak,
I do.
Long
time. Get that.
I will just say this. I am concerned about this, and I'm concerned about how this will be used. I'm concerned about how it will be retained. And I appreciate that all of you standing up here would never dream of using this information for anything other than law enforcement, and I appreciate that. My concern is abuse, and it is setting up a system where this could be abused in the future very easily. So I will not be supporting this, and I look forward to having a conversation about a written policy about how this information will be used in the time. Thank you, Ms. Monk.
Thank you, Ms. Monk. Let me ask a process question, too. Okay. We're voting on buying this stuff today.
That's correct.
Can we not use this stuff until we have policies that are in place?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so guys, so we're voting on the purchase of it. We can argue that we don't want to purchase it if we don't have anything handed out. But those are two separate issues, and you have a commitment to us not to hit the play button on this stuff, so we sort this out.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor, so much. I have a couple of questions. On this particular item, you talked about other cities. What are some of the other cities that are using this technology?
Charlotte Mecklenburg seems to be, North Carolina seems to be one of the smaller cities that use it a lot. And they've seen really good results around the business coming out of the inner city, especially around stolen cars, catching wanted persons efficiently and quickly, and also as a deterrent to all of those types of property crimes. And
okay.
So I see it, and there is a use in around drug houses, people driving up, delivering supply, and being able to be in the hot spots where we have a lot of this type of activity and have this information. Most people in and around drug houses are wanted for crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we use this right and protect privacy, Dallas will be safer.
And I will be supporting this. The only thing I want to make sure, you take an area like South Dallas, where there are perhaps a lot of drug houses here and there. What I don't want is the police just to take advantage of the software. That's kind of my only fear, is that, you know, well, I'm running to this particular neighborhood, let me just do this because I'm a police officer and can do it. Somehow, when we take this back to the policy part, I'm going to support this, is that I think we somehow just need to make sure you train your officers when to use this technology. That's the only fear that I have. And to use it right. It's a purpose for this technology. We're doing it for a reason. And I think that's what you have to push with this type of technology. the only other initiative for discussion with the girls that in poor neighborhoods, when we get technology like this, what I don't want to see is that poor neighborhoods being taken advantage of, because perhaps people may think this is where all the kids are at, or all the drug houses are at, this is where all the crime is at, and overlook another area. So that's what I don't want to see. But other than that, if we move forward with it, I will be supporting it. I have one more other question on this. And one of the things you talked about, does it deal with changing out the system?
No, ma'am. That would be a minor thing. Where the hanging out, that's what the cost associated with the hanging out.
Okay, there's a cost associated with it.
Yeah.
Okay, so if that person is in their car, then this particular data will read only if that person has an outstanding warrant or whatever.
No, it would read it, but it would only be flagged if that person had some outstanding warrant or the call was stolen.
Okay.
And we purged the information that wasn't criminal out.
Okay.
Right now, the discussion is through the 6 months, but we'd have to bring that policy back to the publication committee for more guidance on the range of how long we keep it.
The area that the city that you mentioned, will someone come down from that particular city and go through this software with us?
We'll visit with them, and we have talked to them, and we're going to talk to as many agencies as we can find on how they've been using it and try to get a sense of it. It's a little bit of a learning curve, and we want to allow every officer to use it, only certain ones in certain areas for certain reasons. So our high crime areas, the areas where all of you know the hot spots, where you get a lot of calls about crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so we really are going to be targeted and not just broad approach. It'll be a very narrow use, very strategically used and targeted for some of our more challenging crime areas.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Davis, Mr. Elton. Thank you, Chief Storm. I thank most of my colleagues and asked the question, when I first came in the council, we had a very, very hot spot right there in Charleston in St. Rosen, and we're still working in that hot spot. And
I think the hot line, Mr. Elton, yeah, will get it out of it.
And you did put cameras there. We have held numerous arrests there, because they live now, and some of the residents is feel more safe now, since we know it's there. Colleagues, I think that, for many years we just came here, we were in the top list of crime in the city of Dallas, so we do want to make our city safe. And there is technology out there, we should take advantage of the technology to make sure we are a safe city. And all the federal cities to grow and people to move into the cities, we have to be a safe city. We do have to understand the privacy act, the public act, that these people would use it in the wrong manner and not the wrong manner, depends on for the officer, it's our training, and make sure they're training correctly. Now, what I think that we should do is a motion to move this forward and send it back to Public Safety Department in Toronto to look at the policy issue and make sure that people do the implementation. Then go forward, and I think that's probably the best way to do it. Let's go and hear all the other colleagues. And by this support it, 100%. So, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Edmund. That's great.
Thank you, man. I'd say certainly the age of big data is here. Now it's in Google, Facebook, Apple. But the city is going to deal with this more and more, a policy of not only retention of data and the privacy issues there, but the disclosure. And that's something we actually took up yesterday on budget and finance, where in this age of big data, we looked at how we're going to better disclose the financial data that we have on the city to the public. So this is really the other side of this important big data coin, how we're going to go about what's the policy and the data that we collect from the public, and moving forward on that. So I'd be very interested in the differences in best practices when this comes up, what the civil liberty groups say as opposed to other organizations. I would also be interested in how we're going to publish it, how often we'll update it, and what will be our procedure for having audits make sure that we comply with our own policy.
But certainly this is, we'll be moving forward, I think, the next few years on both sides of this, making more of a financial data available, but then also addressing how we retain data. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you for bringing this proposition to the council and for your very clearly informed discussion at the council this morning. Clearly, as is your usual fine holy practice, you have thought through these issues very, very carefully. You are now tailoring the use of this technology. I compliment you on that. I strongly support the purpose of this technology, and I see the distinction between the vote to purchase and the policy issue. I understand, Mr. Gonzalez, that we will need discussion on the policy issue, but that is different than going ahead with the purchase. And I reiterate, I strongly support going ahead with the purchase. He found I supported not only because of your refined discussion, but also because of my own business. A significant part of my law practice is similar to that. At least 50% of what I do in my law offices is similar to that. I am at the St. Paul Courthouse about half of the time that I spend. This technology will be useful for both the defense and the prosecution. One of the most often repeated phrases in any criminal accusation is, "I wasn't there." This technology cuts through that very rapidly for both the prosecution and the defense. If my client is saying to me, "You need to defend me because I wasn't there," and there is something that the prosecution has which commendably with the attorney said I can disclose it without any opposition, then I can say, "Yes, you were. Let's talk about cutting a deal. Let's not extend and exhaust police judicial resources because you want me to defend something that this person we can say, yes, you were there." Or alternatively, I can say to the prosecution, "My guy wasn't there. The license plate is some other person and you can find that person, but it's not my guy." I think this is very helpful technology for both sides of the doctor. On the privacy concern, I do think the data should be retained. I think the right figure is what you have articulated as somewhere between 3 and 6 months. Now see, I don't have a concern about my license plate data being retained because I have a fixed committee in the office. So help me to understand what would be more concern about your retaining my license plate data. I don't have
it in the office. I think typically, first of all, ACLU supports the loan 3 to 6 months. That's their stance. Beyond that, you don't hardly have any support. But the concern is basically the government has the data and misuse and abuse of the data. That's the concern. It's just a suspicion of the people that's using the data and for what reason. Not necessarily anything factual to point to that says it's being abused, but the fact that you have it beyond some necessary period is suspicious. That's the feedback I get from people who are concerned about privacy.
I think the 3 to 6 month time span is a good barometer. Finally, I want to just touch on one thing that Councilmember Allen touched on, and that was awards at NLC. We get good feedback at NLC. We don't get a lot of awards, but a part of that is the fact that NLC is pointed towards small cities. Big cities at NLC do not get a whole lot of recognition, and it's only been within the last 4 years
that the big cities even had a significant voice through one of the entities at NLC. When we first started going to NLC, we did not have a big city entity. That is very recent. So talking about NLC, know that the town is called the coming and women vocal and the visible at NLC, where we'll get more awards, but right now the small city or launching us at NLC. Additionally, however, in Washington, where I have the opportunity to be frequently as head of the legislative committee, we get good, excellent feedback from legislators, staff members, other people that I visit with from other cities. We get excellent feedback on what Dallas is doing. You are known nationally and known to be doing an excellent job. So thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Any good job, Mr. Dunn?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Obviously, most everything's been said. I had a couple of things, though, too, that Ms. Hoffman brought up. Once they take the picture of this license, say, at a street corner, and once the flash is on there, you say that immediately goes to a squad car with a check thing. This car's off.
He passed away, we can act on the information from the license plate we were on. The camera is mounted on a squad car. The other is the license plate reader is mounted on an overpass or a light. Well, traffic light is, because you have to have a power source. And so in that second scenario, that information will be flagged in our fusion center. And also will be dispatched to that location, given the information that was flagged. So why and make a traffic
light. So they'll get that immediately. They'll get it immediately.
Yes.
And only the cars that did a troubled cars will go to them. They don't get everything.
No.
And you're saying that policy will dictate how we deal with the rest of the vehicles that we've got pictures of.
Yes.
I mean, if it's not flagged for any reason, could we actually just dismiss it right here and there?
We could, that's what we're trying.
Once it's taken, it has no problem, it can go away.
Right, and the other side of that is, but for you not knowing, there could be criminality in the information you're posting. Right. What is the time period the people to be able to investigate and know that?
So if it stays there for 3 to 6 months, if it happened to get stolen, it comes through the system?
Or if a person is on robbery spree using a car, you have to go back and put him at the scene of the robbery, or put him at the scene of the murder, or put him at the scene of the kidnapping.
Yeah.
And so, but for us knowing what's happened over time, and 3 to 6 months have been some of the best practices, time span, you don't know immediately that criminality is in the database.
So if my car had a picture of my car, and I called you in 2 months, and I said, hey, my car's been stolen, it would immediately be in that system.
Unless he told you. I think that's the range. That's the discussion. And that's a good scenario where my car is stolen today. We purged about it today because we don't have it in our system yet, and now we can't locate your car. So that's the other debate, I think.
If I called you and told you my car got stolen, would you immediately put it in the system?
Yes.
So there's really no reason for you to keep my license on there any longer than flash it okay to get rid of it. That could be policy.
Yeah.
Okay, so the last thing I need to say is the funds that we're getting to buy this equipment is actually coming from criminals, correct?
Yes.
So I think that's one of the best things as well. The criminals are paying for the system to catch it.
Yes.
So I like that. So thank you, and I think it's a good system. I think it'll be good. Thank you, man.
All right, thank you. I think we're winding up, Mr. Allen. You want to say something different?
Oh, we'll see. We really haven't talked much about the cost on this as far as the operating costs come back, because this is the purchase of the vehicle license.
And the maintenance over time.
Right. So the cameras themselves, because the dashboard, you know, I think that's pretty much the driving car, you know. that are on the cameras, are you going to add staff?
Well, we currently have a retired officer monitoring the cameras real time. And as we expand how many cameras in different areas that we have, that will be part of the cost. It's a minimal cost. And there's this idea that one person can view a limited number of panels, the TV panels. And so we want to get as efficient as possible on that formula. How many can you view? How many do we have? How many do we want to continue to purchase? And there is some discussion about we have more efficiency in the current number, so immediately we won't be adding any staff. But as we expand, as we discuss expanding, we need to also discuss the cost of people monitoring the panels at the time of real time.
So a couple of years from now, one would anticipate, I'm sure you suggested that out to staff already, what's your guess on a couple of years from now? I mean,
my hopes are, we have 27 areas. And if you just do a little bit of math, you want at least 10 counties per area, and maybe an officer, a retired officer monitoring a single hotspot each, and just to grow from what we have currently to enough to have three shifts of 27 officers, the math on that, that's about what it is,
about 90 folks, something in that neighborhood.
On a part-time basis, part-time retired officers at some low hourly rate.
No pension?
No.
No benefits?
No. They got it all right.
$30,000 a year?
Less than that. Only two.
Okay.
Thank you. Something to do. Most of them want to do it just to get out and be active and feel associated with the department.
A couple million? A couple million a year?
No, less than that. No, much less than that.
Okay. I look forward to, again, the policy, because this is all going to be done. Once we move off of this, it's done. It's done to it. Yeah, policy is just one direction at the end of the day. Councilman Ruiz has made some excellent comments that there's other groups out there Google for more information on us than everywhere I go. Everywhere I go, they know where I'm at. And their emails, so privacy is that's just one direction. This will move this forward. But that policy decision, as we spend these resources that are out there and how we spend these resources, and I support this. I supported everything we've done when it comes to public safety. I've said all along, I want anybody in this great city in my neck of the woods to live in a clean, safe environment. And that word is enriching. Clean, safe, and enriching. Clean, safe, and enriching. Clean, safe, and enriching. And so, you've not crime since I've been on council and the rest of the council members, crime has gone over 30%. Your hard work, your man and woman's hard work has caused that to happen. We will give you those tools. When we talk that policy decision, though, I do want that. We talk to NLC, the other things. I sit there and I see San Antonio. That's a big city, getting money. I see Oklahoma City. I saw Fort Worth getting money. And so I want us to be involved in these other enriching programs that make our citizens better. And, since I've been on council, we've added 200 new officers above attrition at 50,000, ballpark 50,000 package deal, and that's 30 million. So we're doing it.
Yeah.
But I want to see the enrichment part, and I want to have that in the policy discussion. And what are we doing otherwise, too? You know the discussions we've had. And so,
yes, sir.
You and I are on the same track.
And I appreciate the fact
that we're on the same track. So, thank you, Mr. Mayor, for having us time.
Thank you, thank you. Close up the discussion. Chief, we all are fighting crime every day, and we are proud, as Mr. Allen said, the progress we've made in the last few years. As I said before, it's not good enough, and we've got to do more and more, and you are coming up with more and more ideas to do that. Technology is a powerful thing. Technology can help us fight the criminals that also have the technology. They've got a lot of technology, and we've got to make sure that we meet them step to step. But technology is also a terrible responsibility.
and the citizens of Dallas trust our police department. But in the words of Ronald Reagan, trust and verify, I think is important. And so we're in the verification stage here as we give you this new tool to put together a policy that this council believes balances the rights of our citizens in fighting crime. I know you'll do that well, and we will be anxious to enter into those specific details that Ms. Hunt and others have brought up, because they're important questions. And how much leeway do you give on the technology issue? But I don't want to not do something, because it could be used in a detrimental way. It's our job to use power in a thoughtful and disciplined manner, and I expect that we will do that as a city. I think Mr. Atkins, you were trying to make a motion. Do you want to move this ahead?
Moving forward.
Second. Okay, you have a motion. Second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. You have one opposed? Okay. Motion is carried. Thank you. Next item.
We move on to agenda item number 21, consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. For individual appointment to the Permanent License Appeal Board, we have Roma Avalos, nominated by Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, and as vice chair, nominated to the Automated Rehired Enforcement Commission, is Yolanda S. Davis, nominated by Councilmember Hill.
Well, motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? A motion is carried.
The next item, item number 22, requires a motion that the Council of the City of Dallas adopt the item and authorize the use of held eminent domain as necessary to acquire from Robert L. Kelso a tract of land containing approximately 2,173 square feet of land located near the intersection of Kingsland Road and Horizon Hills Drive in City of Dallas Block 8833, Dallas County, Texas, and more fully described in Exhibit A of the proposed rent resolution for this item for the construction, use, and maintenance of one or more pipelines for the transmission of treated water, together with such opportunity facilities as deemed necessary. And this item does require a record vote. Is there a motion?
I move the agenda item 24 be approved.
The motion
is vote.
The motion is second. Request for a record vote. Any discussion? Any discussion? All in favor, please vote. Try it once again.
14 have voted.
But Ms. Coop is broken.
Okay.
All right. Yes. Yeah, yeah. Voting yes or no? Yes. Ms. Coop votes yes.
Thank you. Voting in favor, Councilmember Hunt, Margolin, Davis, Hasso, Carroway, Allen, Coop, Mayor Rollins, Councilmember Alonzo, Mayor Pro Tem Medrano, Councilmember Jason, Grant, Today, Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, and Councilmember Hill. The motion carries, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Allen.
We move now to agenda item number 2. I'm required to read the following statement in the record. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing the agenda material to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. This item does require 2 seconds. I will introduce the item, please. Item number two, addendum item number 2 is authorized an amendment to resolution number 12. 1056 to increase original Chapter 380 Economic Development Grant Agreement with Class Memorial Funeral Home LLC by $50,000 in consideration of expanding the immediate assistance fund located at 4848 South Lancaster Road in Dallas, Texas, for more productive and desirable redevelopment related to the renovation and reuse of commercial property located at 4830 South Lancaster Road in Dallas, Texas. Does it take 2 seconds?
That the motion to second any discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? A motion is carried.
I'm sorry, did you hear that? Councilmember Gershman?
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I understand from Councilmember Davis that she wants to reconsider agenda item number 15.
Ms. Davis?
Do we need a motion to reconsider?
Thank you, Mayor, for doing that. From now, I'm going to be appreciated. I just have a couple of concerns.
Well, what we need to do, though, is we have to take a vote to reconsider first. So you move to reconsider item 15?
Would you please reconsider item 15?
That's a motion?
That's a motion.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
A second. Any discussion on that? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Please.
Thanks, sir. First, if you come forward, please. I have been getting some calls about some of the school closing, and one of them is around HS Thompson.
Mm-hmm.
Even though those schools are closed in District 7, those kids are still walking to school or catching the bus to school or whatever. One parent called me and said that the people are just driving beyond 30 miles an hour down Bear Street.
Okay.
Some of it is 45, some of it is 55, and they're not paying any attention to those kids who are going to school or trying to catch the bus.
Yes.
So I have a concern about the meeting the school zones and tell me the reason why did you want to release those school zones.
You know? Well, the primary reason for taking the school zone out is, as you said, the school closed. So that's our traffic engineering process for doing that. If there's no school, they don't have a school zone. However, as I said earlier, maybe not as clear, in that area, there's still a high volume of children, pedestrians, of any age, walking in that area. We will revisit that area and see if it still warrants a lower speed limit on that section.
Yeah, I mean, if before we do this, I don't have a problem with moving forward with me on the rest of them, but if you could just kind of give a study on those schools that could close around in those particular areas in the Southwest so far, it would help me out before.
Mm-hmm.
If you could go forward with the other items,
mm-hmm.
just the ones that you have down here, and I think it's about 1, 2, 3, 4, it's about 5 or 6 of them that's about 8 of them in District 7, and get back to me. Now let me ask you this. When you talk about the existing school zones,
yes.
does that mean the school zone is 30 plus a school
school crossing guard?
Uh-huh.
Yes, the school crossing guard are a program, as you know, we through the budget process have that work through Dallas County School.
Okay.
And that will continue. So where there's areas where we currently have them will remain.
Okay. And the speed will be 30. It's 20.
So I have to look at that. Wherever the school zone goes, they will be down to 20.
Okay. But please, for those deleted school zones in District 7, I need you to go back and do a traffic study of those areas.
Yes.
Because kids are still going to school, and I'm getting some calls about that.
Yes, and just for a little clarity, if we could, the recommendation would still be this morning to, if you would, consider approving your item. And our traffic engineer is here now, he's nodding yes, but even once we approve this item, we're already starting the process to go reconsider those sections that you just told me. But it would be very helpful if you would approve the item.
Well, I would like to do, can we pull out District 7 and move forward with the item?
I'm giving you the sign of it would be problematic if you did that, Ms. Davis.
No, I would like to clear my name back, please.
Okay.
Go forward with the item.
So, We'll find out. Why don't we just go figure out which ones, and then we'll make the motion for traffic to get a minute. We'll visit with the attorneys and do that.
Okay, yes, and then explain the process as well.
Okay.
Okay, because I don't want my deleted, those two zones deleted in my area.
Yeah. And as I said, obviously I'm okay with that. I'm just looking at attorneys and give me 30 seconds, I'll do that.
Okay. Okay. Thank you.
Ms. Davis, what are you suggesting we do here?
Yeah.
What do you want to do for CJ?
Yeah. Well, I would like to send back the CJ.
Okay. You want to delay this item? Okay. Yeah. All right. A couple of people trying to speak in slowly.
Yeah, I'll just keep my short. Yesterday in a housing committee meeting, DHA, Mary Ann, well, she was there. She spoke specifically, and I'm only speaking specifically as it relates to H.S. Thompson. With the new Buckeye Trail development that is currently under construction on Bear Street that Ms. Davis is alluding to at H.S. Thompson, and I'm only speaking for H.S. Thompson. She made mention on yesterday that they were going to visit with Superintendent Mike Miles because of the Buckeye Trail development for them to consider reopening H.S. Thompson. So that is something that Ms. Ruff mentioned yesterday at our housing committee meeting. So I'm just saying with that, if there's a way to support...
Think you have a way.
Okay.
Think you have a way.
I'd have to offer it to you. Okay. Well, one thing, let me
hold on here.
You go with that. But anyway, that's all I'm trying to say. Figure out how we can service Ms. Davis and get her concerns so she's working along with the concerns she has in her district and feel us move forward with the... with this process.
Okay. I'm going to Ms. Grayson speak and then Forrest will come back to you. Thank you, Ms. Grayson.
Forrest, hello?
Let Ms. Grayson speak first.
I have a question. Is this that cleanup that is occurring over a number of years? Because here you have a deletion of the school zone on Hillcrest related to Northwood Hills Elementary, and those signs were taken down, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, this is just cleanup that's done periodically?
This is, well, I would use the term periodically. This is a cleanup effort for about a year and a half worth of work, so you're correct, it is some cleanup. But in the case of these schools, they were recently closed, and so...
Well, I mean, Northwood Hills is still open, yeah. But I'm just talking about the removal of the actual signs on Hillcrest, which was done many, many years ago. So this
you're
is
correct.
Just cleanup.
You are correct. This is some cleanup in this item, and that's what the purpose of it is. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Now, do you want to respond to Ms. Davis' question?
Yes, I do, Lord. Please, so there are two options here. Either one, you can table this for this afternoon, we can visit on, or have the speed limit reduced, vote to have it reduced to 20 miles an hour all the time, so it wouldn't be whether it's a school zone, it's just 20 miles an hour along that section. So this afternoon is the option.
Yeah, this afternoon.
All right, so I don't think we can take a vote on that. We are reconsidering, we will postpone for this afternoon. You'll get your answer and we'll take it up then.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mr. I'm sorry, Ms. Hunt. You came in wrong. Go ahead, please.
Of course, I do have a question about this. Are all of these things or any of these things on the transportation plan?
On the transportation plan?
Mm-hmm.
Thoroughfare plan?
Yeah.
If they're all on the thoroughfare plan, they would have been vetted for, in the thoroughfare plan. Look at that. Yes.
I recognize some of the larger streets, but I do believe on the thoroughfare plan. Was a public hearing held, or does a public hearing have to be held to either change the direction of the street or change the speed limit of the street?
It is not a requirement. This is a process where we've worked with the attorney's office, a traffic engineer, and the city prosecutor to make sure that our ordinance is consistent so that if for whatever reason someone got a citation, that it's accurate. And so a lot of this work is related to that.
I guess my question is this. When we have worked to implement the bike plan,
yes,
we hit wall after wall after wall being told that with the thoroughfare plan, you have to have a public hearing, even though we're simply adding a step to the street. With this, we're changing the speed limit, we're changing the direction of the street, and I'm hearing we don't have to have a public hearing, and it's quite simple, and we just have to have a public hearing.
Most of them for one of our attorneys to respond to you. Sir.
This is the ordinance number, like we do in the ordinance number, then we'll call a public hearing.
Item number 25 is a public hearing and an ordinance ranching and online industrial research district on property zoned in MC3 multiple commercial district along the northwest line of Mockingbird Lane, northeast of Maple Avenue. Item number 26 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a historic district overlay on property zoned town development district number 701 on the south side of Brady Negro Parkway, southeast of the intersection of Brady Negro Parkway and 4408. Item number 27 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a D1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store use of 3,500 square feet or less on property zones throughout community retail district with a due liquor control overlay on the northwest corner of West Jefferson Boulevard and North Brighton Avenue. We do have one individual signed up to speak on item number 26, and that is Judy Richards. Ms. Richards? Judy Richards? Not present. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the items that were rolled into the record? Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the items that were rolled into the record? Are there any... Ma'am, if you'll please come on up. If you'll state your name and address for the record, you will be allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer. When the timer comes to zero, please allow the next individual their turn. You will address your comments to Mayor Rollins. Please state your name and address for the record.
My name is Anna.
Can you pull that down a little bit? You can pull the mic.
Thanks. Are you saying that I'm correct? Okay. My name is Anna Corpusini. I live at 212 North Brighton Avenue. And I'd like to address the convenience store wanting to sell liquor. The convenience store, most of its property is across from residential. In other words, it has a small space that faces Davis, but the majority of its property is on our single-family residential street. The driveway is directly across from my driveway. It's a very small neighborhood store abutting the lawn of single-family residential property. The proprietor does not run his business in a way that makes me feel safe about liquor sales there. As neighbors, we've asked him to better control the amount of trash that blows out of his property and into our lawn. He does make an attempt, but we still have to pick up often twice a day. Cigarette wrappers, lotto tickets, newspapers, and plastic soda bottles are the majority of the trash. We do not want their glass containers added to this assortment. And cans attract vagrants who dig through the trash. Now, he can only see the gas pumps directly in front of his windows. There are no windows or cameras on either side of the building or at the back of the building. Consequently, the sides and rear of his building are used for drug deals and drug use. The rear of his building is also used as the restroom, which I have had the displeasure of observing from my front porch on numerous occasions. The high schoolers also were using these areas to hang out, smoke a joint, and net, but I called the school so often that they finally broke that up. The little store is on the road to and from Sunset High School, and I have witnessed young people stealing from the store. Sometimes I approach them about it, and sometimes I don't, depending on my perceived level of safety. The young people can readily see the adult video boxes on his shelf. He was fined for selling tobacco products to a minor after I complained, and he was eventually caught in a sin. This may have been the previous management, or I don't know when management changed. I have seen minors leaving his store with rolling papers and little pouches. Now, the big compound grocery nearby does sell liquor, beer and wine, but they have security guards and cameras in and out of their store. Our store proprietor does not have any knowledge or control over what happens around his store. I've asked him to remove the payphone or relocate it so that he can see it curb drug deals. I've asked him to install security cameras and signs to curb other illicit activity. He says, okay, but years later it's not done. His carelessness has fostered crime in my neighborhood, and while I personally enjoy talking with him, and I do like him, I don't trust him with liquor sales for me in my front door. Thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve agenda items number 23 through 27? Please state your name and address for the record.
Yeah, my name is William Austin. I'd like to speak on about the liquor stores. There's too many liquor stores in Rhode Island. Some of them could be good for the, you know, for the economic development and all this with y'all folks. But after a while, there's going to get to be too many in Rhode Island. Like they said, as far as the restaurants, using the restaurants and back of the places to send the sale of liquor. I've been throwing the phone thing. I feel I'm not the only one who had a problem. In West Dallas, you have maybe 20 liquor stores, new liquor stores, and you have a station, and I won't have a restaurant. So I would have to ask, you know, could you ask the liquor store owner, could they put a restroom, like a public restroom for your grandmother or your children, could use a public restroom, and you got liquor stores every week, could somebody ask them, could they put a restroom in some of the liquor stores? I mean, just to ask, you know, I know they don't pay people, they don't pay you already, but could you just ask that anyway? Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to either agenda item 2327? Please state your name and address for the record and indicate which agenda item you're speaking in opposition to.
Okay, my Lord, I will not speak to the court of action at 4 American Eagle Drive. Before 1987, which is private. But what I want to say is this beer and wine and liquor kind of squeeze me on losing all the teeth that this guy won't knock out about. What? 4 months ago at the bus stop, and anyway, you know, I've been guarding my store at the corner of all Westmoreland Gunwell. I had a guy at the 50-50 one time, wanted to jump on me. They never called me at the store, I called the police. But what I'm trying to say is, all this liquor store and stuff, they call this problem in our community. You know, we don't need this, you know. And it's not doing any good. Is something wrong? Was I talking about the wrong thing?
No, I just wanted to make sure you were talking about item 27. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, it's talking about liquor. You're talking liquor, right? You don't need to.
Not in general, item 27.
How was that?
Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to agenda items 23 through 27? Are there any speakers in favor? Any speakers in favor of opposition? If you would please clarify for the record which agenda item you're speaking in opposition to. We can only take one speaker at a time, followed by the next speaker. So please state your name and address for the record.
Item 27.
Thank you very much.
My name is Vincent Williams. I've been a law enforcement for Dallas County for 27 years. I've known Mr. Petra since 2009. And I always have to go to his store because it's easy to get in. But I won't take long to tell you what I know about Mr. Petra's store. He has painted the store inside and out. He added a glass inside the store to monitor the kids if there's anything going on for our students. And ever since that I know, if he knows he quit the mind, sales in the store to make it more convenient. And this one guy that he's hired, he's there to monitor kids. But I have never seen one outside sitting around like 7-Eleven. Selling drugs. No one really behind the building. And I'm just telling you what I know about it. And that's it. Thank you.
To clarify, are you speaking for the item or against the item?
For, well, please.
Thank
you. Hi, my name is Patrick Hanson. And
please move the mic down. Thank you.
And I work for the store at the 1909 Westside City Boulevard and Dallas 6th, 1908. I heard that a lot of her agents talk about the store that has grass, and how we will grass outside my store. The allegation is not true. It's not true at all. The upper store, as we are friendly with our neighborhood, you know, the university, we don't have to hang outside doing that. This is a ridiculous. This is not to manipulate. Just they try to make me look so bad. Because I'm a hard-working work 7 days a week, try to feed my family. I don't know why they stopped me to make a living to feed my family. You know, I have no idea. I never had any, you know, enemy or anybody in any neighborhood. And we all friendly, we all behind each other. And I don't know why they bring up the accusation. They say my staff operation has store, has the drug selling outside the store. And some of the people behind our bank store, we have the bathroom, public bathroom for the people use. You know, that's all. We operate the store. We don't say, hey, we don't have bathroom, we can do whatever you want. You know, we allow the people to go to bathroom, public bathroom we have. So, what if the kids take out my store book? They're ridiculous. We don't have any kids in our store. We can go investigate, see from today until whatever else we have to keep. Take out to my store, in front of my store, doing drugs. If you see like that, say I'm wrong. But you know, this allegation is ridiculous. So I don't know why many people say like that. I have no idea. And I just want to try to work part 7 days a week, make a living, keep my family. That's all I have. I don't have anyone have any problem with anybody. That's my point. You know, but please just try to understand. I'm an American, Asian American, try to make a living over here. And the people stop me to make a living. What do they want me to go on a ship time? You know, if they, I have to, probably I go, you know, but I keep fire to the man or that I die, you know. Thank you very much. I hope all the councilor and mayor understand what I speak today. It, I speak to from the bottom of my heart. I need a lie, you know, that I said to everything true today. Thank you very much. I hope you understand, you know.
Are there any speakers in favor? Certainly not for the record. Can you indicate the agenda item?
Comment. My name is Margaret Padilla, the item number is 27. And I live on the corner of Jefferson and Edgefield on some apartment. I walk every day, morning to his store, in the afternoon, and in the evening. Every day I walk to get the lottery results. Every day. And I really do. I have never seen kids hanging around outside this store, never. This gentleman and his assistant clean that area every morning and in the afternoon. And I've never seen kids doing drugs out there or going to the side of the restroom. They have a key that you have to come and ask for to open the restroom and go in. I mean, I have even waited for them out there to open up because I've gotten there before them. And there's nobody hanging out there but me. Now, when I walk from Jefferson all the way to his store, I have seen needles thrown on the side of the houses and stuff on the sidewalk, but never have I seen anything like that in his parking lot. And they're real good people. I mean, they help the people out there. They give them credit so they can buy their milk or their bread because they've given it to me, you know, or coffee if you need it because the other stores aren't open yet. I have never seen any cars parked there dealing drugs and stuff, and I know what that looks like because that area is like that. But I've never seen it at his store, and they have it very clean. He painted it, picked it up. I mean, I don't see where this lady has seen all this going on. There's no trash outside of his store. I mean, they clean in the morning. They're out there sweeping. They put salt or dust, whatever it is, to clean the oil, the spills from the cars that get their gas. I mean, I have never seen anything like that.
So, I mean, I'm just telling you, I go 3 times a day over there, and I don't see any kids hanging out. I have never seen any of the Sunset High School students steal from his store. I've seen them go in there by clothing and sit, but never tobaccos. I mean, you would never sell to a minor tobacco. They ask for your ID. I've been standing there scratching off tickets, and he asks for ID if they look too young. You know, so I've never seen that. He's a good person, and it's a good store, and I don't drink. But, you know, everybody on Jefferson and Davis sells alcohol. Why can he not sell it if everybody else is selling it there? That's not fair to him, to his store, to make profit like the other people are doing on Davis and Jefferson and Bishop Arts District. It's not fair to this little store. And the kids that go in there really do respect this man and the other one. They're not rude to him or anything. You know, and I'm sure he has to deal with rude people, drunks that do go in there after getting the alcohol from some other store, you know. So I'm just saying, I don't think it's fair for him not to get his permit. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor? Yeah.
Mr. Mayor and council members.
And this one, the gentleman wants to come in.
Well, I know a female cause of people buying and selling drugs here either. And the property is always clean. And that's how that fits.
Thank you.
Excuse me, sir, if you don't mind, do you need to clarify your name for the record?
My name is Ruben Castillo.
Thank you very much.
My name is Carlos Malaga, Business Room, and I apologize for the impression. But we have worked with Ms. Councilwoman Hassel on this SCP. And all the requirements, which was pushing of the property, which was building the property, setting the property, even to put an 8-foot fence behind the property. We have taken care of all that. We have almost spent $15,000 so far on it, just to get the line. He is the only person in that neighborhood without the PM line. He is not going to sell millions of cases. It is just another statement with the merchandise that he is getting. And the store sits right on Jefferson, which is a very troubled street. To have a wrapper of chewing gum or candy, I think it is asking too much. And there are no complaints with the code compliance. There are no complaints with the Central High School. There are no complaints with the code or any other department that has come and said anything bad about the business. So my request is to at least grant some sort of an SCP. So at least you can continue and at least allow out that small business. Thank you so much, and thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor of Agenda Item 23-27?
Hi. My name is Judy Richards. I'm here basically with two hats today. One, I served 6 years on the Duncan Jones Historical
Museum. I'm sorry, what are you, 52?
26.
Okay, thank you.
I served 6 years on the Duncan Jones City Council, 2 years as Mayor Pro Tem. This particular site, and I have to look at it from a council person standpoint, I think would be a win-win. Not just for Dallas, but also the surrounding communities, as well as Dallas County. Our whole object on historic preservation is to basically put heads in beds. And this would actually be another feather in Dallas's hat. This is the official state tourist guide
that the state of Texas gives out free to anyone requesting it. You can get it on the internet. You can call the state and they will send you one for free. Not only does it help bring tourists to the areas involved, which is Duncanville, Cedar Hill, and Prairie, that actually encompasses this particular area, but also it can benefit big time in educating students. Besides 10 farms, I would say that the Surrock historic site is probably one of the oldest in the area, but it's still intact. Grant, even when I was there in the early 1990s, when the Midlays actually owned the farm, it was in a lot better condition than the photographs that I've seen of it. I do realize that it will take quite a bit of money to restore it, but I think overall, I think that it could be educational for our students to be able to go and take tours of this farm to actually see what pioneer life is like in this area. The barn that is on that particular piece of property, from my understanding, is very, very unique to the Dallas area. That particular architecture, the way it was built and everything, was brought here by the Surratt from Tennessee, known as the Appalachian Mountains. Obviously, when their ancestors came to this country, they had settled in Tennessee first before moving on to Texas. It is unique to the fact there's not a nail one in that barn, not unless it's been put in there since the Surratt had actually built it. It is held together by pegs, wooden pegs that are put into place. The Midlays actually showed that to Francis Jones and some of the historical, Duncanville Historical Society members when we were invited to the farm.
Thank you. Thank you, ma'am.
You're very welcome.
Are there any other individuals in favor of Agenda Item 23 through 27? Please indicate your agenda item, sir.
My name is Dr. John P. Baker. I live at 6523 West Red Bay Road, which is right around the corner from this place we're talking about. So I can call the following.
What item are you talking about?
Sir?
2000.
Greater Red Bay?
23.
Historic overlay. I'm in, just for the record, I'm far from the historic overlay, and I want y'all to approve that. It's one of the most historic structures, maybe the oldest historic structure in North Texas. It would really be a shame for us to lose that historic structure. Two of my grandparents after the Civil War came to Texas and broke a log cabin in Palmetto County, and we were trying to raise money to save that location, and the guy that owned it decided he didn't want to mess with it, and he burned the building, burned the log cabin down. And it's a shame to lose those kind of structures. And if we lose this one, that would really be unfortunate. So I want y'all to vote for that. And I know y'all will. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers in favor of Agenda Item 22 through 27?
If anybody else wants to speak, come on down to the first row. Be prepared to.
Good afternoon. My name is Chris Lomas. I live at 6430 Dixie Garden Lane, Dallas, Texas. I want to let you know that I'm in favor of you passing this. I also represent a majority from my community that cannot be here today, that all of them are in favor of this. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next speaker.
Bracken. I've been fooled every time I came down here. I thought Mary Sue had blonde hair, but I look over there and she just doesn't look that way anymore. I'm in favor of the historical designation and represent the open space property owners in the area. We wholeheartedly support this, and we want to thank two council members who are responsible for getting this to you. One of them is former council member Coletta Lill, who without her help, some of the attorneys said we could have worked the community, we would have never gotten started. That's more than 8 years ago. And the other person is our representative, Scott Craig, who spent over a year to get this to you today. And without his help, we would not see this completed. So I hope that you all support him. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Are there any other speakers on agenda items 23 through 27? No further speakers this morning.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Ms. Hassel.
Thank you, Mayor. And I move to approve the consent agenda, including items 23 and 26, with the hearing left open on item 27 to February 13th.
So we have a motion for the consent agenda with the amendment to leave 27 open. February 13th, I'm sorry. And we have a second to that, right? Okay. Discussion, Mr. Gray.
Yes, just on item 26, I want to say what a great day this is about. This cabin was built in 1847. It's 166 years old. And if you haven't been out to the site, I'd encourage all of you to go out. It's amazing. It's the oldest structure on its original site in North Texas. We know that because if you see this cabin, it's an amazing chimney. The chimney was built without mortar. It's stone on stone. It goes up about 15 to 20 feet. So there's no possible way this cabin could have ever been used. And we're also lucky enough that we've been in touch with the Frost family. And they have a family diary that documents the birth in this cabin. Which is remarkable too. Also the barn is just amazing. As the speaker said, there are no nails, it's just dowels and wooden pegs hold the whole thing together. And to see that, and to see the well, and to see the escarpment that's over there, and to know that they hand dug this well through the escarpment, and it goes beyond what you can see, you realize that this is a real treasure in North Texas. Our oldest known building on its original site. So this is a big step forward to finally give us a historic designation that's long overdue. And just want to thank all the residents for coming out and all their hard work. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Alonzo?
It's also close to the Girl Scout camp.
Thank you. All right. Any other discussion?
Can I say one thing?
Yes, Mr. Dan.
Thank you. I'd also like to speak on 26. I'd like to thank Dr. Baker for coming out to the post standard. Mine and our family and speaking on that. And that's the way things get done. And you've been around quite a long time. Not as long as you have, but I know you've been around a lot. So I know you know what you're talking about and appreciate your comments on it. Thank you for coming down, Dr. Baker. Thank you, man.
Thank you. Any other discussion? We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The motion is carried.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. We're going to go now to agenda item number 33. Item number 33 is a public hearing on authorizing a public hearing to determine proper zoning and property zoned in R-5A single family district, a CS commercial service district with specific use permit number 1701 for commercial motor vehicle parking, and an RR industrial research district on approximately 21 acres generally located on the north side of Singleton Boulevard between the Town Street to the west and Beckley Avenue, Canada Drive to the east, and south of Pebble Street, with consideration given to appropriate zoning for the subject site to allow for mixed uses and consideration of applying neighborhood stabilization overlay number 13 to properties zoned in R-5A single family district on the east side of the Town Street and the north side of the M&T right of way for fuel.
Thank you, Mr. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to leave the public hearing open and postpone this item until January 23rd, 2013.
We have motion second. Any discussion on that? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carried. Why don't we go back to item 15 from this morning and clean up that work?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Shall I read it into the record?
Agenda item number 15 is an ordinance amending chapter 28 of the Dallas City Code to number 1, regulate the speed and direction of vehicles on certain streets, expressways, and freeways, Number 2, designate foot traffic zones. And number 3, designate one-way streets and alleys.
Ms. Davis.
Thank you, Mayor. I have worked with staff during the lunch break, and all my questions have been answered. So I move we approve item agenda item number 15.
Second.
We have a motion second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item, let's go back to item 28.
Thank you. Item number 28 was deleted on the agenda. Therefore, item number 29 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a B1 liquor control overlay and an ordinance granting a specific use permit for the sale of alcoholic beverages in conjunction with a general merchandise or food store of greater than 3,500 square feet on property zoned Pond Development District Number 7, with a due liquor control overlay on the north side of Centerville Road, southeast of Garland Road. Are there any individuals in the audience that would like to? Excuse me.
Thank you, Ms. Mary. We sent 6 notices to property owners within 200 feet of the area request. We received 0 replies in favor and 0 replies in opposition to the request. This does require a majority vote, please.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to agenda item 29, which is the CPC recommendation to approve?
Okay, gentlemen, Lee Hoffman. Agenda item 27 with the liquor and the gas area restroom.
We're speaking about item 29.
Okay, I'm on 29.
Yes.
So you're gonna check and make sure everything all right on agenda item 27, and then you're gonna bring it back, and then you're gonna vote on it. And now we're on agenda item 29 with the liquor store. Now they got food and everything in them, so you're going to pass this one, but on agenda item 27, you're going to hold it. And I wonder why. Thank you.
Are there any speakers in opposition to agenda item number 29, which is the CPC recommendation to approve? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve the item? We'll speak at this moment.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion, Mr. Cadena.
Thank you, Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the zoning change as recommended by City Planning Commission.
Okay, motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
The following statement applies to agenda items number 30 through 32 and 35 and 36. By making and seconding this motion, the council members represent they have undertaken sufficient examination and involvement beyond reviewing these general materials to be knowledgeable of both the facts and the circumstances of the case and to be able to develop an opinion based on such an examination of the various factors and issues involved. Agenda item number 30 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting an iron industrial manufacturing district under resolution accepting due description volunteered by the applicant on property zoned in iron industrial research district on the south line of Ryan Road east of the highway.
Ms. Mayor, we sent 18 notices to property owners with the proposed receipt of the request. We received 4 replies in favor of the request and 1 reply in opposition.
We do have 1 speaker signed up. That is Michael Mantis. Michael Mantis. Sir, will please come up to the floor, to the front. Is Mr. Mantis, are you here? Not present. Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition of the CPC recommendation to approve? Sir, will please come up to the podium. You do have 3 minutes to speak. Address your comments to Mayor Rowley. Thank you. State your name and address for the record.
My name is Owen Carter. Are
you
on?
You can just a little close to your mic. I mean, you're not. Thank you.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm Owen Kerner. We own 8.2 acres, almost adjacent, but a little bit to the south of this property. We came in for a zoning request. We have IR zoning, as does this property. We came in for a zoning request several years ago and were denied the same zoning that these people requested. And I believe that the staff does not recommend approval for this kind of zoning. We were denied the zoning, and at the hearing, what came from, I think, the former mayor was the statement that we're building ball fields close to this, athletic fields. We are close to where this development is, and we don't want this area to be made worse. Trash, I believe, was the word that was used. Not that I'm here for solid growth. I mean, I'm not complaining about the fact that we didn't get the zoning that we wanted at the time. But this applicant wants to put a composting plant almost adjacent to our property. We believe it will smell. We believe that there'll be airborne debris. We believe it'll hurt our property value. We don't want there to be a change in zoning. And we believe that the people should adhere to the zoning that they have on the property. And if they want to build a composting plant somewhere else, where it is zoned for it, where it is IN zoning, then God bless them. Let them go in that direction. But not to rezone property that affects other people's property and is in so close proximity as to affect the use and value of the property that's already in place and is currently zoned. So I hope that you folks will deny this request. Thank you very much.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the IN? Are there any speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve?
Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Bob Chapman, 900 Jackson Street, and to respond to those comments, just a family-owned business. It's been a business for three decades. They've done all the dirt, like at the new museum, for the deck park. It's a very green use, the composting facility, and they're actually in that neighborhood already, South Monroe Lines of District, and already closer to the soccer field than they're going to be now. They're buying the land. They've been a tenant for a long time. So we're actually still in the neighborhood, but we're moving further away, if it matters. We have a lengthy set of deed restrictions. A good operator. We've had taken a number of members of the planning commission on tour of the site. We'd be happy to do so with this gentleman. And I know there's still a couple of changes that staff in the region have actually in our world. The delete, the sand gravel, or earth trails, and storage from list of prohibited uses. And the solid screen fence along Ryan Street must be a minimum of 6 feet in height. And we'd ask that you recommend approval. I know Councilman Alonzo wants to continue to work with the neighbors, and we'd be happy to do so. So thank you for your patience, and Happy New Year to you.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve agenda item number 30? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you all, and send a motion, Mr. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to hold this case under advisement until January 23rd, 2013, with the public hearing kept open.
Yeah, motion and second to hold for advisement. Keep it open. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 31 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a town development sub-district to I-2 industrial sub-district uses on property zoned in I-2 industrial sub-district within town development district number 193, the Elkhorn Special Purpose District, and an ordinance terminating specific use permit number 1671 for multiple family uses on the west line of Harry House Boulevard and the east line of Houston Street Extension.
Mr. Mayor, we sent 16 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of request. We received 0 replies in favor and 0 replies in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to the CPC recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor? Thank you. Could you please come up to the podium, state your name and address for the record.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, my name is Robert Baldwin, Office 2904 Elm Street in Dallas. I'm here to answer the questions you may have on this request.
Thank you, sir. Are there any other speakers that would like to speak in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve agenda item 31? No further speakers this evening.
Thank you. I'm going to motion, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I move to close the public hearing and approve the zoning change as recommended by the City Planning Commission.
Thank you.
A motion second. We need 2 seconds, sir.
Yes,
Ms. Gillis. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried. Let's skip item 34.
Agenda item number 34 is a public hearing on declaring Maryland Park unneeded and unwanted as municipal park, and the proposed sale of the park is surplus property located at 3925 Maryland Avenue and containing approximately 12,000 square feet. And at the close of the public hearing, consideration of a resolution declaring the property unneeded and unwanted as a municipal park and offering it for sale as surplus property. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item read into the record? Are there any speakers on agenda item number 34? No speakers this evening.
Thank you. I'm going to motion Mr. Carroll.
Mayor, I move to approve this item.
We have a motion and second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
We move now to agenda item number 32. This item does. Agenda item number 35 will require 2 seconds. A public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol spacing requirement from the Northwest Bible Church required by section 6-4 of the Dallas City Code to allow a restaurant with a mixed beverage permit pursuant to chapter 28 of the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code with a food and beverage certificate on property on the south side of the Northwest Highway between Douglas Avenue and the Dallas Gulf Highway. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Are there any speakers? Sir, if you'll please state your name and address for the record, and whether you're in favor or in opposition to it.
Yes, ma'am. Jim Scott with the law firm Guardian and Lynn School at 1601 Elm Street, Dallas, Texas. We represent Mac Acquisition, better known as Romano's Macaroni Grill. This is the Macaroni Grill located at 5858 West Northwest Highway. And they are requesting this variance so that they can continue to serve mixed alcoholic beverages without the need for a private club permit. Across Northwest Highway is the Northwest Bible Church. From the front door of the restaurant to a gymnasium of the church is 300 feet. And so that's why we requested this variance. They've been serving alcohol there for several years through a club permit that took Proposition 1 a couple of years ago for the sale of mixed beverages in Dallas' past. We're now seeking this variance for the permit to sell mixed beverages at this Macaroni Grill restaurant, which is no different than serving it. Enforcing the spacing requirement in this instance does not serve its intended purpose and is not effective or necessary. The church will feel zero effect from zoning the granting of this variance for all intents and purposes. But like I said, there's really no difference between serving it to 12 members to get a membership as opposed to just selling the mixed beverages at this Macaroni Grill restaurant. And so we would ask that you vote in favor of this variance. And if you have any questions, the general manager of the restaurant is here if you have any operational pop questions. Thank you very much.
Are there any other speakers that would like to speak on the item? No speakers this evening.
Thank you. I would say a motion, Ms. Morgan.
I move to approve the resolution with the following change. This alcohol station variance is valid only for a restaurant without driving or drive-through service with a food and beverage certificate pursuant to the Texas Alcoholic Beverage Code.
Thank you. Motion and second. Any discussion, Ms. Stowers?
Yes, Mayor and Ms. Mogul. Is this the fabulous Macaroni Grill right off Northwest Highway off the tollway?
That's it.
I think you get off the tollway, you take a right, and you get to that fabulous Macaroni Grill. Right next to the bank and stuff out there.
That's the one.
That's it. I'm with it. Thank you. Any other endorsements? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 36 is a public hearing and a resolution granting a variance to the alcohol station requirement from the St. Mark's School of Texas required by Section 6-4 of the Dallas City Code to allow a wine and beer retailer's on-premise permit for general merchandise at least greater than 10,000 square feet, Central Market, on property on the south side of Royal Lane, east of Preston Road. Are there any individuals that would like to speak on the item? Did you have an individual coming up to the podium? So you are allowed 3 minutes to speak. Please address the comments to Mayor Lawley.
Mayor, members of the council, my name is Dennis. 5026 Maple Springs Boulevard, Dallas, Texas, here on behalf of the Equal Entitlement applicant in this case. I'm here to answer any questions. Thank you.
Are there any other individuals that would like to speak on agenda item number 36? No further speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you all. I'm going to host Ms. Mulgolan.
I move to approve the resolution with the following terms. This alcohol station variance is valid only for a general merchandise or food store with 10,000 square feet or more of floor area. And I will add that there is no objection at all from the school.
I have a motion and a second. Any discussion from Mr. Carroll?
Is this a fabulous supermarket? Yeah. I stopped it all the time. I have no question.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Agenda item number 32 is a public hearing and an ordinance granting a new plan development sub-district for multifamily uses on property zoned sub-district A within plan development district number 468, the Oak Cliff Gateway Special Purpose District on the southeast corner of Greenbrier Lane and Roy Avenue. Are there any?
Thank you, Ms. Mary. We sent 38 notices to property owners within 500 feet of the area of the request. We received 2 replies in favor of the request and 1 reply in opposition.
Are there any individuals that would like to speak in opposition to agenda item 32 and the CPC's recommendation to approve the item? Are there any speakers in favor of the CPC recommendation to approve agenda item 32? No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I'm saying motion, Mr. Griggs.
Thank you. I move to close the public hearing and follow the City Planning Commission's recommendation for approval of the following changes. 1. The height of the second floor of a live-work unit shall be set at the maximum allowed above the finished first floor without the requirement of a mid-stair landing. 2. Fruit trees may be planted in the parkway. 3. The following small trees may be planted to comply with the street tree requirement where there is a utility conflict. A. Crepe myrtle. B. Rosebud. C. Desert willow. D. Yopan holly. E. Mexican plum. 4. The stucco system used as a facade material must have a minimum thickness of 1/2 inch.
Is there a second? Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
I'll just add, this is a great Trammell Crow project that's coming across the river off of Zang, and so the door is open. We can't wait for you guys to break ground and for others to come over to us. So welcome, and thank you for all your help.
Great news. Entertain
our afternoon speakers. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Your afternoon speakers are Charles Goodwin, followed by Zumba Rice and William Hopkins. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other residents attending the meeting of the City Council can observe the general propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the sign did not answer such a request by the designing officer. And the person shall be brought before the audience before the city council during that session of the city council. Individuals are allowed 2 minutes to speak. When the timer turns to zero, please allow the next individual to return, and you will address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, the first speaker is Charles Goodwin. Mr. Goodwin is not present. Ozumba Lice. Mr. Lice will be followed by Rowan Hopkins, Robert Pecorelli, Gwen Wooten, Nicola London, and Frank Wood.
Yes, Mayor. I thought I forgot to steal a lick a while ago, but I was talking about 2027, and I will give you some of the bad examples first, and I was going to the liquor part of why you didn't need all of this, but you cut me off in my 3 minutes, and I was going to inform you, because I thought maybe I did something wrong, so I was down, I put on. But you know, so I was breaking on my 3 minutes. But anyway, I'm going to read this off first, so you break on the minute. But the world is temporary. The world to come is eternal. Man don't know what to do. He won't listen to God. He's just running around, thinking of things, trying to please man. And see, by raising our children, start the law, you say. Bible said not to. Parents are not being responsible for their families. Man thinking he is God, not obeying God and his commandments. Loving money, thinking money is the solution to his name. Sociologists, inspirational speakers, saying things to make you feel good. Everything we say we don't like is in the word of God. Too many of us today are worshiping money and man and the devil. City, county, state, town, and government employees are overweight. Some don't care, and some are corrupt themselves. Talking to most of the citizens as though they are ignorant. But the scriptures are going to put them in office. I see it's a lot. You know, the law will show you guilty to prove an innocent, but I found it will. I need an innocent to prove guilty, but I found you a guilty to prove an innocent. Oh, man. I want to say this here. The world that comes is come. If you don't know God, you better try to get to know him. I'm not perfect. I have flaws myself. I have forgiveness all the time. But I take God with me and I pray so many times a day and I walk and I pray. I sit in here and I pray. I don't know how many times I pray. God is saved me. I probably should have died at 205. I had cancer, I told you all. The truth is the great food in me. Most guys I know have this operation is bad. They're really sick. God is with me and I know God is with me. So I tell people when you mess with God, to remember. God may be with it, and you may remember you. But all I have to say is that, you know, we don't get it. And we need to see God. This is a temporary life. Y'all been buying cars, got all that money. You can't pay God to hear you. I mean, God is good. God will take care of me. God is good. I tell you all, God is good. Just stay in the hands of God. And that's about all I have to say. God bless you all. And we're going to stay that on 27, but you know, you cut me off. I was giving a bad example about my teeth getting knocked out by helping what happened to me. And I was all because of liquor, and I was going to watch it. You know, I don't know what we're going to do, but the things are worse than the system is telling the people. If you tell the people the truth, they will be scared, couldn't sleep at night, and everything. The money don't make you happy. You lose what you lose, and God will always give his children what they need. You have no problems, they have no fear, because God will always take your head. He comes with that, and he will. God bless you.
Your next speaker is William Hopkins. Mr. Hopkins will be followed by Robert Piccolo and Jane Wooten.
Robert, Calvin Woodward was at the Dallas Morning News, December the 16th, 12, December the 17th, 12, and December the 18th, 12. He was in the front page of the Dallas Morning News, West Dallas, no longer. He was telling about the lead they found. They brought the people out and tested the grounds, and they found high levels of lead. EPA running around lying, getting paid by the city to lie about the Clinton River on the Clinton River deal. They lying. So I was wondering, you know, after we was in the paper for 3 days in a row, the Dallas Morning News, the front page, I was saying, well, where's the limiter? And then my city council person was going to come out and help us, and everybody was going to come, and everybody was calling me. They had me in the paper, they had my teacher in the paper, they had Otis Fagan, they had the Hispanic guy, I can't think of his name right now. I'm so amped up. But we was in the paper. Look, the Sepulveda was in the paper. Everybody was in the paper. I'm looking for everybody to come. Our city council person to come and help us. And the mayor, I gave you the court order. Your first day on the job, I gave you the court order. You said, we want to look into this. But the boss being black and you being white, you still haven't looked into it and you still dying. But anyway, everybody know already, Merrill Rollins. Everybody know the FBI. I went to the FBI. I told the FBI about James Cavanaugh was the head of the EPA, how she, her and Fred Byron and Russell Bird, they finagled the people, stole the money in West Dallas. And then I told the FBI that Fred Byron and Russell Bird had Clinton to hire James Cavanaugh as the head of the EPA, which he had helped the people through the islands all led, and then they hired her so they could keep the money at the EPA and won't give it to the people that super fund. So they hired Fred Byron and Russell Bird hired James Sackler to have Clinton, gave Clinton a whole lot of money, so Clinton hired James Sackler as the head of the EPA to keep the money from the blacks from West Dallas and super fund money, keep all the super fund money, and play like everything is fine with the Clinton River, and y'all keep the, you know, move all the people out and use all the money, the red money, the build up West Dallas with. So Russell Bird and them, y'all got these land banks. What the one tell is? I want to tell them about them land banks. Him and Russell Bird and them got it, using our money from West Dallas that they stole to build up West Dallas with in the Treasure River. Lowell Miller got his bridge coming to West Dallas. And her husband was working with the Fred Byron and Bird Law Firm that stole our money and using our money. He's the state representative and the state suit. I gave you the lawsuit for the state and the city suit, Mel Rollins. And Lowell Miller's husband was working for the state. And so what he did, I gotta pick this up on the next thing because I'm smoking. I'm pick this up on the next one, but I'm on a roll, baby. I'll see you later.
Thank you. Good.
Thank you. I just think it needs to be said for the record that the funds, no funds were ever stolen. The super fund was properly implemented by the EPA, and health tests were administered by Parkland. To the extent that there is any lead that exists in West Dallas, the EPA has and does look into the source of it. The source may not be the lead smelter plant. So I think it's always important to separate the truth from the fiction and know that we, for everyone that's listening, know that we are absolutely committed to the health, safety, and welfare of the citizens of West Dallas. And if there are any issues with lead in the soil, those will be investigated, and we'll continue to work with the EPA, which managed the Superfund site, and we'll continue to work with the county, which was in charge of the testing, and performed several health tests to make sure that, in fact, there was no lead in the individuals living in West Dallas. And to that extent, we've made all these documents through Mr. Perkins' office available to the public, as well as the Dallas Morning News, to review all the studies and reports. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Good.
Thank you, Mr. Hayes. I'll be trying to keep that in a minute. Your next speaker is Robert Piccarelli, Matt Hogan, Graham Wooten. Ms. Wooten will be followed by Nicola London and Frank Ward.
Good afternoon. My name is Graham Wooten. I'm down here to talk about a cross-eyed. An example of it is that Lee Parsman of this Dallas. Well, y'all have killed thousands of people out there, and people are still ill from that lead out there. I'm sick, my daughter's sick, my husband got cancer, and you sit up here telling people that the city of Dallas has done everything it should have done concerning that lead. Mm-hmm. And that is not true, Greg. You know it's not. Greg is not telling the truth. You know him, I know him, but I don't know him. People are dying and live in this town for many times from 50 years ago. In our days, people who were born after 83 compensation that they can't even receive. They were part of my family and gave me all this to me. put in five charges in time. This is the civil case. When you murder somebody, it is not civil. It is criminal. It was criminal for the city of Dallas to allow those people to come out there and build those houses out there in the contaminated areas. As a former member of the Environmental and Health Commission of the City of Dallas, appointed by Councilman Al Lipson, the citizens were on committees, not city council members. The EPA came to the commission and told us that the Lord is in the air, not in the land. Now you tell me what happens in Arizona when them sandstorms come. Is there a difference between the land and the air? They're smoking people out there. It's time to stop trying to cover up this stuff. I came down here to talk about a podcast, and this is an example of it. This government has moved those people out of their community, has compensated them, but of course they're right. But the black folks, we don't know nothing about government. We have an urban league who doesn't teach anybody anything. We have black people who walk out the chambers and people, black folks come up here. And then they won't pay us no attention no way. If Jesus Christ was a $5 today, with a glass of wine, preaching the Lord's Prayer, this baby would have been arrested. That's what we're living under. Apartheid in education, health, environment, and any other circumstances in this city that needs to stop. It's over. It's 2013. You can't do better than me because you see it's still there. I didn't have it come up in right away. I didn't know who thought that up. That's crazy. You just got out there with everything you own, you took it. Including me. Had not been your ancestors, I would not be here. And if it was not for my gold and diamonds, Queen Elizabeth would not have anything. Thank you. And happy New Year.
Thank you.
So,
next
paper?
Did you want to say
anything?
Please, go ahead.
Well, point of order, I think it's the future comments all need to be directed to the mayor.
Okay.
And
thank you.
Accusations, particularly with the lead smelter plant in West Dallas, the citizens need to know that we're there for all of them.
Good. Thank you.
The next speaker is Latoya London.
Hello, I'm Latoya London, 1760 Martin Lewis. Okay, I'm here because they're busting our kids, like, down the street. Our little kids, the 5 to 11 year olds, sixth grade. They're busting them like on the other side of the business, and our apartment is all the way at the end. Now, what I'm trying to get them to do, I called a whole lot of people. I'm talking about from the media to the DISD. I called everybody this morning and last night. And I told them that it was raining yesterday in my son, and all of his friends had to walk like a whole block away from my house. They were dropping them off right in front of the bus stop, and that's right in front of where we live. Now, he's right on the other side of the building. Now, these kids, they say the kids are wild. So if they're wild, why would you drive a block away and have them walking home a block from where they live? You're still picking up the high school and junior high right in front of the building. So why would you move the elementary kids? It's a vacant lot. And this vacant lot is right next to the building, the tenant place right next to our apartment. And they're just doing it, I think he's doing it his way. Because I called transportation, they said he's not supposed to be doing that. So the thing is, I'm hoping they correct it by 3 o'clock, really, because it's raining outside. And they don't have a flu medicine. You know, you're going to give the kids the flu and everything else. You know, they're walking in the rain getting wet. My kids was wet yesterday. They wet all up. The coat was wet. You know, I had to wash and dry, but some people don't even have to wash and dry. But I'm just saying they were wet all up because they walked a block away to their apartment. I mean, they already had to walk from in front of the gate. I really don't understand. It's a vacant lot that the city of Dallas has. It's wild. It's the city of the dark. And they don't even have a little place where you sit down. They have one right in front of my apartment. But the van is parking. It's right there in front of a vacant lot. It's an empty lot. Nothing there. It used to be a business, but it they knocked down. And my point is, BISD got to work with, I mean, transportation extra got to work with BISD because those BISD kids. Mr. Mayor, I'm trying to see if maybe you can help or something. I don't know. You know, y'all want to be involved with BISD, but they don't need our kids. We just had a murder right around the corner. You know, we stayed right around the corner from Southwestern Hospital. That murder was right there. You know, so our kids were walking a block away from the apartment. And they just had a murder. A grown woman got killed. So, are they going to wait till one of our kids get injured and then they're going to say, hey, oh, we're going to pull in the apartment or whatever. He said, he's not pulling in the apartment because the kids rushed the bus. There are only three adults that be out there, and then sometimes I'm out there. Most of the times I take my kids to school. But the point is, the kids wouldn't have to walk away from the apartment a block away to get picked up, and the junior high get picked up right at the bus stop. Does it make sense?
Thank you.
My final speaker is Frank Young. He's not present. Second speaker for the testimony.
Thank you. To 11 to the council meetings again.